TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show. Real talk. Crew offline. Listen, when you think of Omaha, Nebraska,
most people think of wheat and cornfields. But there's a lot of African-American people here in Omaha, Nebraska. And as I just told Fee, I could possibly live here if I had to. Now, I ain't trying to leave Atlanta no time soon. But if I had to live in Omaha, it wouldn't be a bad deal. All the way live from Columbia, South Carolina, give it up. We chopping it up tonight. Yo, I look, I see this dish she got prepared for y'all. Whoop. Give it up for Fee. Man, this looks good.
Hey, hey, hey. How are you? Hola.
Doing well, man. Trying to get over this hump. Ready to get back to the east. Ready to go back
to get over that hump. Put that arch in your back. I'm sorry.
I don't know about that, but all the way live from the AT arch in your back. ATL, give it up. What the hell?
You gotta have the arch in your back for hump day. Ooh. Arch, hump. They're synonymous.
There you go, hot chocolate. There you go.
I was confused. Okay. It is hump day.
It's the altitude in Omaha. That's what it is.
I'm gonna let y'all arch y'all damn backs. get over the hump. Hey, we're talking about school choice tonight. Do you know about school choice? We did a show a couple weeks ago. We had a caller to call in to talk about school choice. But being that we are headed back to school, many people went back to school last week, and I'm not used to kids going back to school in what I deem like the summer.
The summertime. Yes. A lot of been here in Atlanta back today, as well as some last week, and I'm like,
some last week.
It's not even Labor Day yet.
I mean, we're all from you know the East Coast, of course, but we're all from up north, and we don't go back to school up north to after Labor Day. I've been used.
Well,
to that
I learned a fun fact. I learned a fun fact in regards to why we went back to school after Labor Day, Virginia. Yeah, I found out that Virginia, of course, is a tourist state. That a lot of the schools decided that they would weigh out the summer break till after Labor Day because of the tourists. So that's why they extended it to after Labor Day. Here in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, that area tends to go back to school after Labor Day as well because, of course, it is a quote-unquote tourist area. So that's what I found out just actually the other day regarding why they go back to school so freaking early here.
Wow. Well, I mean, the kids start early here as well. They start, like, the second week, obviously, of August, and then they get the first part of May. So, their summertime is just adjusted.
It balances out for the most part. I mean, I could remember me thinking when I was in Florida, I was there for 8 years, I could remember thinking, you know, around August 19th, which is like the middle of August when kids were going back, I thought that was early. So to go to school earlier than that is out of control. But tonight, folks, we're talking about school choice. Do you know what school choice is? If you don't know, here you go. School choice actually allows public education funds to follow students really wherever they go. I mean, to schools or to services that best fit their needs. Did you catch that? Public funds follow students to schools or to acquire educational services that best school or private school or charter school or home school or any other learning environment. It's the parents' choice for their kids. Now, a lot of people didn't even know that there were so many different alternatives to education, and I'm going to cover all of them tonight. It's about 9 of them, with 2 that kind of varies from state to state. But again, felt like this was an important topic because I want to say his name was Mike out of Minneapolis. He gave us great perspective a couple of weeks ago when he talked about I think what came across to him as us bashing, or I'm going to say me bashing or not being in favor of charter schools at that time. He deemed it school choice overall. Wasn't saying that at all. In fact, it's my desire to build a few charter schools, you know, before it's all said and done. But education is my thing. Without education, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I think a lot of people can say that, you know, without graduating from high school, going on to college, and not just that, but even, well, just that, graduating from high school, going on to college, because a lot of people didn't even make it out of high school with that certificate, right? Education is important. We may not have thought it was important then, but as a grown adult in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s,
yes.
if you do not have a high school diploma, I mean, it's the grace of God that's in your life if you're successful. Because it's
Absolutely.
Difficult, extremely difficult to be successful in America without a high school diploma, let alone a college
a
degree.
A college, right.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different types of school choice. Did you all know that there were about 7 or 8 different types of learning environments that you could choose for your child?
I did not.
I didn't know that many. But I think, doesn't it depend on the state and, like, the district your children are in? Or is that just nationwide?
There's some mm-hmm. standard nationwide programs, and then there are some specialty programs, customized learning programs, and I'm going to say customized as well as online learning programs that are specific to the states. But this thing really comes down to what you can afford. Families who can afford education is families who can really afford to move into the best neighborhoods where public schools are, you know, and that's what a lot of people do. They really go scope out the schools in a district, right, how they're ranked, to really identify mm-hmm. where they want to live. But the reality mm-hmm. is most of us can't afford to do that because the good
right.
schools are typically in neighborhoods where the homes cost, you know, $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality mm-hmm. is, you know, that's just not where most of us are. But I'll tell you, school choice really doesn't have anything to do with economics. School choice is about you doing the research and knowing what's available and you deeming what's best for your child. One is an education savings account. It's called ESA. ESA allows parents to withdraw their children from public schools and charter schools and receive a deposit of public funds into a government-authorized savings account, which is restricted, but it's for multiple uses. Those funds often are distributed to families via a debit card, and it can actually cover private school tuition fees, online learning, private tutoring, community college cost, higher education cost, and that is something that varies, but it is a nationwide program. It's called the Education Savings Account. Do your research, folks. The next is school voucher,
wow.
which is what was the wow for?
Just because that's such an awesome tool to have. Like, where was that when my kids were
when
going
we
to
were
school,
going
or even when I was going to school?
When we
Jeez.
Were going to school.
Yeah, man.
See, but this is the deal. But this is what we do this type of show, and we focus on these type of things because knowledge is power. And where there is no vision, the people perish. And unfortunately, we do not have a lot of parents who are proactive about their children's education because this is not new. We just didn't know about it. Knowledge is power. School vouchers. Vouchers give parents the freedom to choose a private school for their children using all parts of public education funds. They're set aside for their children's education. Under such program, funds typically extended by a particular school district. So, you know, your child goes to a public school right now that's in a particular district. You have to choose a charter school in that particular district, typically. That's typically how it works. Funds will be allocated to a participating family in the form of a voucher. I know in Florida, that voucher was up to like $5,000 to pay partial or full tuition for their child's private school, including both religious and non-religious. So you could get a school voucher to send your child to private school. This is nationwide. But this is the deal. The voucher is only going to be for a certain amount. Your tuition could be more than the voucher cost, so you have to pay the difference. Most public schools, on average, get about $7,000 per child per school year, $7,000. Mm. In Florida, you get a $5,000 voucher to go to a charter school. I'm not sure what that voucher amount is for a private school. I'm thinking it may be the same. But, again, do your research locally on the ESAs, which is the education savings account, as well as the school vouchers. I'll share one more, and then we're going to go chop it up with Fee. The next one is a tax credit scholarship. Tax credit scholarships allow taxpayers to receive full or partial tax credits when they donate to nonprofits that provide private school scholarships. Eligible taxpayers can include both individual and businesses. And so when you can include your business, that's a great tax write-off. In some states, scholarship-giving nonprofits also provide innovative grants to public schools and or transportation assistance for that particular school. For that particular child. We're talking about tax credit scholarships. Hey, do you know about school choice? That's our topic tonight. Do you know about school choice? I mean, listen, this is something extremely serious at a time in America where, listen, it seems like we're going backwards instead of forward. This is a way for you to take control of your child's education and make sure that they aren't lost in the sauce. How about that? Ladies and gentlemen, all the way live from Columbia, South Carolina.
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb,
rice,
beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkey, rat.
You name it.
Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ram, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken,
turkey. What the hell is she saying?
Yes, chicken and turkey. Yes.
Chicken, turkey.
Yeah.
There you go. You better get with Miss Shirley. There you go. Yeah.
Well, tonight, guys, I am bringing you my seafood lovers lasagna. Did you catch that? Seafood lovers lasagna. Let that just drip off your tongue real quick.
Yeah,
okay.
Great.
Let me get back to this here recipe. Yes. What you're going to need is 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 large onion, thinly sliced, 4 cloves of garlic minced, 3 cups of dry white wine, and not that cooking wine, the wine that you want to drink. Trust me. You don't want that other stuff. Yeah, you want that, the real stuff. You're going to need a jar of Alfredo sauce, 1 8-ounce package of shredded Italian cheese, 1 pound of medium fresh shrimp, peeled, deveined, and chopped, 1 16-ounce container of crab meat, picked free of shells, a 12-ounce flounder fillet, and you want to cube that, 1 15-ounce container of ricotta cheese, 1 large egg, 1/4 cup of minced fresh parsley, 9 oven-ready lasagna noodles, and 1 8-ounce package of shredded mozzarella cheese. What you're going to do is preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Spray a 2.5-quart baking dish with nonstick cooking spray. In a large skillet, heat your olive oil over medium heat. Add your onion and your garlic. Cook, stirring occasionally for about 8 minutes or until your onions are tender. Add in your wine and cook that down for about 2 minutes. Slowly stir in your Alfredo sauce along with your shredded cheese. And you're going to bring that to a simmer till it melts. Remove from heat and stir in your shrimp, crab, and flounder. In a medium bowl, combine your ricotta cheese along with your egg and your parsley. In the bottom of a prepared pan, spread 1/4 cup of your ricotta mixture. Place 3 lasagna noodles over the ricotta mixture. Do not overlap your noodles. Spread 1/3 of remaining ricotta mixture over your noodles. Top with 1/3 of your seafood mixture and sprinkle with 1/3 of your mozzarella. And you're going to repeat these layers twice. Bake for about 35 to 45 minutes or until hot and bubbly. Let it stand for about 10 minutes before serving. Let me tell y'all, if you have some garlic bread to go with that, you will literally, well, in your mind, you would love to open hand slap your mama after you bite that. In your mind. Because please don't tell them that he told you to slap them. Because, in your mind. Please don't tell them.
Feet chopping it up out of Columbia, South Carolina tonight. Yo, that looks great. See him on the live, see him on the live, see him on the live radio show. See him on the live, see him on the live, see him on the live radio show. Real talk,
real peak, real time, and really good food. I'm drooling on that recipe. I'll be fine next. Again, I will let you know how to come up. It is 9:21 p.m. here in the social app. TM Hyman Radio, live your girl, Hot Chocolate, the general C, chopping it up with us like she does. Tonight, do you know the choice? 917-889-26. If you have a question, comment, press on us. You're there.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's storming over here. I apologize.
Gotcha. Hey, well, let's go to the phones. 202, last 47004. We know who this is. Our resident legal expert calling out of D.C. Koopa. What's up, Koopa? Long time, brother. What's popping, brother?
Hey, man, what's going on? I just called, man, because I saw what the title was tonight, School Choice, and I hopped on too late, so I didn't hear what the whole breakdown was. Can y'all give me a little small recap?
Yeah, well, we still in the midst of it for the most part, but I mean, we're talking about what introducing really school choice, making sure that people know what it is, and so one, I mean, school choice overall is the fact that, you know, parents really have the ability, you know, based on public education funds, you know, that follow their children. I mean, people don't really know. I mean, there are like multiple paths that a parent can actually choose for their child. I mean, it's not about what the system thinks is good or what the government thinks is good for your child, but parents have the ability to identify what they think best fits their children's needs, whether it's a public school or private school, a charter school, homeschool, or really online learning. You know, I mean, parents choose, and we don't really know that. I'm learning that we don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to come from at a different angle. I'm not a school choice proponent. And the reason I'm not a school choice proponent, or maybe I am in certain aspects, but not in the majority of them. One thing that a lot of people don't, when it comes to school choice, I know a lot of the talk is with charter schools. A lot of the charter schools, or not, I'm not going to say a lot of them, charter schools go by different guidelines than public schools. So that makes things different. And I'm not talking out against what LeBron is doing, what Diddy have done, what Jalen Rose have done. I think those things are good, and I think they are useful tools.
But now know that LeBron's school is not a charter school. It is a non-charter school, to be clear.
Okay, it's a non-charter school. Okay, but the thing is, with a lot of the school choice push is by some corporations that want to get into the school business. And some of these corporations that are
this
pushing
is true.
This school choice platform are some of the same corporations that push the private prison platform. So when you, so as a parent, when you're looking at that, also look at those type of things to see and then think, what is the real end game here? You're funding these schools for profit, and you're also funding private prisons for profit. What is the real end game here? Also,
yeah, and I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that at all.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And And then also with some of these type of schools, there have been a lot of people in Ohio, California, where you have these different type of schools where people have elected to, hey, I'm going to take my child and put him here because the money can go from the public school to this school where the schools aren't ran properly. And because they aren't under the same guidelines as public schools, they're able to shut down at the snap of a finger.
No, I've seen it. And even I saw that happen a lot in Florida.
Yeah. There's even a good article on the Nation magazine about this one gentleman. He's a mogul from, I believe, from Turkey. And he's one of the major funders of private, like basically charter schools. And I forget what his name is. I hate that I forget his name. But that's why I think it – and then also you have to look back at the history of a lot of this where you have – like you have the Umar Johnsons and all them pushing their schools and everything. But you have to look back at some of the history going back to the 60s. The first – where this first came from, like right now you have a lot of it is about black empowerment. It's like, oh, we need to do this, that, and this, and that. Where it first came from in the 60s, it was kind of being pushed the same way, but it was being pushed as a backdoor way of segregation. And a lot of people don't know that. There's articles, you can actually Google it, about that. And it started out in Texas, and it has grown over the decades. And it just, they put a little bit different sugar and a little different flavor on it to make it more acceptable for you. But that's why, just be careful and look into the details, look into the companies that are behind it, and just, and like I said in the beginning, there's some positive things from it, but there's some positive things from all aspects of this conversation.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. And folks, we're actually about to run out of time. We've got a few minutes left, so I'm going to get these other alternatives in. Charter schools were one. But Coop, I think we share a lot of the same skepticism surrounding school choice. But this is the one thing that I can say. And, you know, a caller gave us some perspective a couple weeks ago. For parents who live in the worst neighborhoods in the country, for urban areas and poor people, for ran-down schools who have no choice, school choice is just that. It's the parents' right to pull their child out of a poorly ran school in a urban community where no funds are really being put to maintenance a school, right? So I totally get where you're coming from, but parents have to do their due diligence to make sure that they identify the right path for their child. So let me go ahead and identify these other ones. Again, school choice has several different components, or I'm going to say types of choices that you can make. Tax credit scholarships, we talked about that one, was the last one. Individual tax credits and deductions, you can get those as it relates to your child's education. Magnet schools. A magnet school is indeed a public school, but you have the ability to, you know, identify a magnet school for your child. Intra-district public school choice. That varies around the country based on your zip code. And we'll post this on our website. Homeschooling. Now, you got to be a good teacher in order to school your children at home. And then last is online learning. As Coop said, you have to do the research. And there's this thing called school-to-prison pipeline. And, Coop, that's what you're alluding to. You're alluding to that school-to-prison pipeline. We're going to talk – we'll do a part two to this next Wednesday because there's so much to talk about, and we literally are about to run out of time. So we're back next Monday, 9 p.m. We out. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for calling in, Coop.
Hey, it's nice talking to y'all, man. We got to link up, man.
Hey, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Good night, everybody.
Come through the AK.